There we go. All right, guys, do we have audio now? Do we have audio? I believe we have audio. Lip reading. Every show, the audio. Every
this is
show,
the fun part of it.
Every show. People think I'm doing it on purpose. We have audio?
Yes.
All right, we have audio. The hotel internet is working. I'm here with Mike Doce.
What's up, guys?
This is a miracle. My button pushing skills are so horrible. And now I'm able to pull this off in the hotel internet, plus without my regular microphone stuff. Okay, guys. Yesterday, me and Mike had an incredible conversation about nutrition. For those of you who don't know, I eat a lot of natural foods, a lot of non-processed foods, but I also eat processed foods, about 80-20. I would say 80% of my foods are natural, non-processed, and 20% processed. I asked Mike yesterday, what's his ratio to for natural foods versus processed foods? Mike, what was your ratio?
100% natural foods, zero processed foods, synthetic chemicals. Period, the end. Sorry, guys.
You're making me feel guilty. I also take supplements. Mike, what's your take on supplements?
Well, there's more context to the question, but by and large, whole foods is everything you need unless a deficiency is discovered through comprehensive blood work. So any supplements, we get all of our clients off of supplements. Initially, we look to establish a diet of whole foods, and then we look for deficiencies through blood work. If we find a deficiency, then we will use a supplement. But typically, we're not talking sports supplements. We're talking health supplements, vitamins, minerals, vitamin D3, maybe iron, maybe magnesium, maybe calcium, maybe DHEA or pregnenolone, things such as that. Rarely do we ever use a sports supplement, possibly a cold process, cross-flow, microfiltered whey protein isolate would be on the fringe of a sports supplement we would suggest.
You know, amazing, because I travel a lot, Mike travels a lot, and I told Mike, listen, sometimes I'm training, I can't always get good food, I reach for the supplements. I love this answer. What did you tell me yesterday?
So when I travel, I bring all my food. I bring four meals with me everywhere I go in my backpack. So I
show
have
the food. Backpack. Show, tell them what you do when you travel.
Oh, this is the black pack. We do sell it at the Dolce Diet or Dolce.shop.com. The bottom is actually a hot cold pack where you can put four full meals into it. It's actually, you can put all your training gear.
You also pre-order your food. You prep your food. You travel with your food.
And then, so when I travel, what I do, I call up the local grocery store, Whole Foods, whatever, and I have all my groceries delivered to the hotel. So when I get there, I have all my groceries waiting for me in my room. I call the front desk. It's all taken care of. So there's no excuse. And like Coach Frost, myself, we travel all the time. And people say, hey, I travel. It's hard for me. Bullshit. Yeah, I'm sorry to curse. No. You don't travel more than we do, and this is what I do, but I had to learn. It didn't happen day one. I had to continually get better at it, so that's really what I'm trying to educate to you guys. If you plan, it's very easy to do, and it's less expensive. All my meals are in my room. All my water, all my oats, all my seeds, all my nuts, all my fruits, you know, even canned wild-caught salmon, hard-boiled eggs, all ready to go, avocados. I mean, I eat better than anybody in the hotel, and much less expensive.
Amazing. His dedication to eating right is unbelievable. What I did is I gave myself some slack and I allowed some processed foods in my diet. But after talking to Mike yesterday, after Ramadan, I'm going to go back to non-processed foods. I'm going to try 100% whole foods for a while, see how I feel, see if it makes a big difference for me. I'm going to be joining your site, Mike. Mike, we talked about me. I'm going to be working your site. It's the docediet.com.
Yeah.
Mike's been gracious enough to allow me access to his site. So after Ramadan, I'm going to be doing it for 4 weeks. You have a three-week fat-burning program, yeah?
We do. It's called 3 Weeks to Shredded. It's a weight loss program based upon the same science we use to get our world-class athletes like Mirsad Bektik into shape for international competition, to get them as lean as possible, as healthy as possible, because just losing weight, that's not the battle. It's getting down to weight, but performing at a world-class level the next day. So our system must be the most comprehensive. It must be the most sophisticated. It must be the most effective in sustaining life. The first rule, guys and girls, is do no harm. If you're hurting the athlete, if you're hurting the client, if it's just about physical cosmetics, if it's just about the scale, that's not the way to approach it. We must be enhancing life and health and vitality. And that's what we've accomplished with 3 Weeks to Shredded.
Well, you know, I work with so many experts. And for sure, everybody, you know, the one thing they all have in common is whole foods are good. Whole foods are good. And of course, there's such a vast variety of different strategies for eating. It's crazy. Like, I mean, I've worked with so many different experts, and the strategies are so different. But yours is very, how would I say, it's non-gimmicky. There's no, like, exclusion of food. There's no extreme strategy, which makes sense in a way, because most extreme strategies, eventually, they get tiresome.
Yeah.
It gets difficult to stay with it. And your take on carbohydrates is very, how would you describe it?
Well, carbohydrates, essentially, carbohydrates consumed get stored as glycogen, right? Glycogen stored in the muscle, stored in the liver. Glycogen is then expressed as glucose for most athletic activities, but really for average regular life. You don't have to be a professional athlete or an athlete at all to need glucose. Glucose is the primary fuel source for the brain. It's the most efficient fuel source, regardless of what the keto community tries to tell you. Glucose is the most efficient fuel source, period, the end. So we need to consume proper carbohydrates, micronutrient-dense, phytonutrient-dense carbohydrates, so we have ample glycogen storage to then be expressed as glucose for glycolytic activity. Now, we can picture a George St. Pierre or a Mursad Bektik competing in the UFC octagon. That's completely a glycolytic event. But also, when I get up out of my chair and I have to sit down at my computer and I have to start, you know, writing words or dealing with my boss or, you know, whatever life you're living, walking the dog, playing with your kids, you're using glucose for these events also. We need to have that readily available. Now, you don't want to overspill your glycogen storage. You want to be optimized without overfilling. That's where carbohydrate, controlled carbohydrate intake matters, not the exclusionary zero carb systems. That just does not make sense. So we eat carbohydrates, but it's the right carbs, the non-processed carbs, definitely no synthetic chemicals.
So now summer's coming up, guys, and I know you all need those beach buds.
Yeah.
You recommend the 4-week program?
The 4-week program. So if you go to thedolcediet.com, we have a 4-week and a 12-week program. We're using a promo code thank you for all the Firas Zahabi community, for the TriStar, the JujiClub.com community. So promo code thank you for you guys.
You'll one get word?
One word.
Okay.
Thank good. You. And now with thank you, you're actually going to save 20%. If you choose to go to thedolcediet.com, and guys, we offer a 100% money-back guarantee. If you don't like it for any reason, I want you to have your money back. I don't want your money. I just want you to get in amazing shape. What we teach you in a short period of time is how to eat real food and get in the best shape of your life, how to prepare your food and get in the best shape of your life, how to dramatically change your body through whole foods, through real foods, but you have access to over 200 additional recipes that we teach you to start to substitute in. So it's not just what you get in the first plan. It then allows you to live your life the way you were meant to. Plus, there's exercise programs, and there's a whole much deeper layer. If you're a techie, you'll really, really appreciate the site.
Amazing. And you can tailor it to their dietary needs, if they're vegan or vegetarian or whatnot. And he's got a whole system online, guys. If you want to check it out, check it out. Get in shape. Learn the life lessons you're gonna use for the rest of your life. You know, eating habits that you can develop for the rest of your life. I saw one of the questions pop up, and this is a question I find is really, really important. How do you control the sweet tooth? Because I got, for those of you who don't know, I got a monstrous, monstrous sweet tooth.
I do too. Now, the sweet tooth, mostly the craving for sugar is because there's some sort of deficiency. That's why we are a non-exclusionary diet program. That's why we don't exclude carbohydrates. We need carbohydrates. Your body's craving that glycogen, essentially. We, in our human minds, you know, immersed in pop culture, we assume that sugar comes from cake and cookies and candies and such. But really, when you're optimizing your nutrition through micronutrient-dense fruits such as blueberries and strawberries and blackberries and grapes and bananas and papayas and pomegranate, and the list goes why. When you're eating those foods, the craving goes away because now your body's fulfilled. So when I have a craving, we have frozen, you know, we take red grapes, you know, we wash them properly, we put them in the freezer so they're frozen. I'm an ice cream. I love ice cream. I don't eat ice cream. We make our own homemade ice cream. But when I need something like a grab and go, I'll grab a handful of these frozen grapes.
That's brilliant.
They're amazing.
I gotta do that.
And they're delicious. The sugar is even sweetened, and you kind of crunch them, you chew them. It takes
That's
a little
brilliant.
Time. So it's just using little life hacks like that. Now, if you make the excuse, and many people do, like, oh, I don't like fruit. Like, and you want to cry.
That's me. That's my voice.
Well, we can
fix that. He's impersonating what I said last night. Like, I want my chocolate.
But we can fix that. We just have to be a little more mindful of our choices. We have to be intentional. We have to choose. I am choosing to eat this knowing that it's poison. And if you do that, I can't stop you, because now you're being an adult, you're taking responsibility, you're owning your decision to poison yourself with a synthetic chemical, processed sugar. We know is bad. If you choose to do that knowing the ill effects, well, that's up to you. Now you take responsibility. Most of you won't make that decision, but maybe once or twice, it's your birthday, it's your kid's birthday, it's your anniversary, you're choosing to have the cheesecake. Hey, that's fine. I'm not going to get mad about that. But the 10, 20, 100 days before that, there's no room for it. That's how we make progress. That's the simplicity of our program. We teach you the principles. We educate you the merits of whole food nutrition, of real food nutrition. But then we hold you accountable to doing what's right.
I love it. You know, and one trick that always works for me, when let's say I want to have cake or cookies or something really, really sugary, I reach for dates.
Dates. I love dates and figs are amazing.
I love red raisins, but right. I'm going to freeze them from now on, because you know why? The thing is, when you buy red raisins, especially if you buy organic, they don't last very long.
Yeah.
They go bad after 2-3 days. You're like, I just bought them and I got to go to the grocery store every single day. It's time consuming. You know, not everybody's as dedicated as Mike. Let me tell you guys, I'm really impressed that he orders his food when he gets to the hotel. His food is there. He travels with his food. I mean, the guy does not cheat on the diet. No processed foods whatsoever. But let's say, Mike, let's say you're super organized, yeah, and the stars align. You cannot get whole foods.
Yeah.
Are you going to not eat, or are you going to eat?
Now, I've traveled the world, and I've never experienced this problem. So I've never experienced this problem. I travel every continent. So hypothetically, if that's the case, number one, I did not plan, because I need to plan and have all my meals available and have food available to get me to the next point. So what I will do, I'll make sure I'm optimally hydrated, and I'll start looking for fruits almost everywhere in the world. I've never gone anywhere that I couldn't find fresh fruit. Even at a gas station, you can get bananas and oranges typically. You can typically get raw nuts at gas stations, at 7-Elevens and Wawa's and whatnot. I will start there as an energy source, a clean whole food energy source, and then I will try and source out areas in which I can get more properly prepared whole food ingredients. If I can find a local cafe or a bodega or a restaurant or a diner, even at a Denny's. I'm stuck. I do military tours. Those in the military understand that you guys are in hell holes typically. Denny's is like a fancy restaurant. I'll get poached eggs. I'll usually some sort of a spinach, like poached eggs, spinach, and avocado, sliced tomato. You can get at any Denny's on the planet. Minimally processed. They never touch a grill. There's no oil. There's no salt. Nothing added. And I always tell the waitress, I have a health issue. I can't have anything added to this. Because my health is my issue. That's my concern. I have a health concern. I'm concerned about my health. I'm not going to eat your garbage. So poached eggs, absolutely amazing. Spinach, avocado. They serve those at Denny's. Sliced tomatoes. I'm done. So I haven't had the issue.
How about this? Let me give you this scenario. You have a young athlete, but he has a very limited budget.
Yep.
He doesn't have access to whole foods. He doesn't have the luxury of having a larger budget for food.
Yep.
He has to eat processed foods because that's all that fits in his budget. What's the best of the processed foods?
Wow. Oatmeal. We could say oatmeal has been
good.
Mildly processed. White rice, again.
White rice, that makes sense. It's cheap, very affordable.
Cheap, affordable. And all this, you can go to Walmart, you can go to Costco, or even nowadays, Amazon is
quinoa is also global. Can be really cheap.
Quinoa, 100%. Quinoa.
What about breads?
Breads is going to be a little more expensive, the type of breads that we would suggest, which would be a sprouted grain bread. Those of you might know Ezekiel bread. That's like the Q-tip of the brand in the sprouted grain category. A sprouted grain bread would be ideal. But most bread products we tend to avoid simply because it's not our parents' or our grandparents' bread. The processing, and just read the ingredients on most of these bread products. It's a paragraph of chemicals that looks like it's delicious, soft bread, but it's all chemicals. So we won't eat that. We won't consume that primarily. We can look for like, you know, ground beef. Typically, you can get pretty decent ground beef at low relative cost nowadays. We would try and get the 93% plus lean for those athletes who need some sort of animal protein source at a low cost of entry. And even if it is conventional, we'll kind of turn our, you know, we'll allow that at first because it's do as good as you can with what you have, and then we slowly scale forward to that more organic, non-GMO, locally sourced, organically raised products.
So rice, jasmine rice, which is good news because that's my favorite rice. Absolutely. For those of you who don't know, I can eat that literally. I can eat that every day. It's the greatest.
It's the greatest thing
ever.
It's
the greatest base for any food. You know, you put a protein source on that. You put some vegetables on that. Now, protein source.
Yeah.
Are you having flesh foods every day?
It depends. So I'm a 200-pound guy, roughly. When I do eat protein, it's typical of animal protein. It's no more than 4 ounces at a time. I don't need more than 4 ounces. Now, 4 ounces of steak or fish is typically 20 to 30 grams of protein. I'm typically eating an equal amount of plant-based proteins on that same plate. I don't need to eat 40, 50, 60 grams of protein every single meal. That makes no sense. So my animal protein portions are only 4 ounces. When I go to a restaurant and order a steak, I get the princess cut, and oftentimes I'll split it with my wife, which sounds a little weird because like I'm a fucking meathead, right? But it makes no sense to eat 6, 8, 12, 16 ounces of steak to prove I'm a man. That makes no and that's what most of us do.
That's so me. See, right? That's so me. He knows me.
And that's
I'm one not to do. I'm one not to do.
That's the culture.
I order the giant steak for me and my wife, and then she can't finish even a quarter of it. I eat the rest of hers.
So you're eating like,
plus the potato and all, everything.
Yeah. So we flip that. You know, I want, you know, 2 to 3 servings. Typically, we get, you know, I get a big old salad as an appetizer. I'll get, you know, spinach and broccoli and asparagus and cauliflower, you know, and, you know, roasted tomatoes or whatever. Those are all on the table. Whatever, you know, greens come with the steak itself. We say clean burning carbohydrates. Give me a potato, I want a baked potato. Give me rice, I want the steamed rice. Give me quinoa by itself, you know, plain. Maybe some couscous or something on the side, but hold the oil, hold the butter. That's typically the way we order. We're very diligent. I tip very well to make sure that we're, you know, well taken care of. You take care of the people, they take care of you. But be very specific. You're not being forced to eat anything. It's all a choice, and you can choose. You can modify. So no sauces, no glazes, you know, no additions. Put everything on the side. Then I get to choose what I want on my food, and usually I don't want any of it.
Okay, Mike, that's when you're being strict, and you're more strict than most. But we need cheat days. We need cheat meals.
Okay, okay.
Tell us the cheat meal rule of thumb.
So we never cheat. We don't cheat because there's a negative association with cheating, and I don't want this negative philosophy.
Right.
What we do allow, we call them earned meals. So you can actually earn an off-menu meal. It's a positive connotation, right?
Right.
So you've done something to earn it. And people say, well, how do I know? You know. You know if you're fucking cheating, motherfucker. Like, you know if you are. You know if you've earned it because you've been working your ass off. So what we say is, well, let's set a goal. Maybe it's 10 days of eating perfectly. Maybe if you're overweight or morbidly obese, maybe it's walking around your block one time, finally building up. And we deal with clients like that every day in our facility. We deal with people like that. Maybe it's finally making that one full walk around the block. Beautiful. We love it. It's very special. But we pick that time, we pick that earned meal, and for that earned meal, what we say, we give you 4 hours typically. 4 hours to eat whatever you want, go crazy. Once you do that, you feel like dog shit. You feel terrible. You feel sick to your stomach, right?
True.
You get diarrhea and constipation.
Was it worth it? Yes, it was worth it.
For the short term. And then you cannot have these earned meals any closer than 10 days apart. If you want to do one every 10 days, all right, I'm not going to be mad at it. We'll set that limit for you. The next time you have your four-hour window, your earned meal, you don't eat nearly as bad and nearly as much. The next time, you actually start eating more closer to what you normally eat anyway because these are the foods now that you normally crave. Maybe you have your normal meal. Maybe you have a steak and potatoes or something, and then you have a little piece of cheesecake on the side instead of eating a whole cheesecake and going to Taco Bell and going to Burger King or whatever you choose to do. But in time, this lifestyle starts to take over. You turn over your digestive environment in that your body no longer accepts these foreign foods, these processed foods. It can't break it down anymore. It's no longer an enjoyable experience. And you start to crave the whole food simply because you feel good. If you're dating a super smoking hot chick, you are not going to start cheating on her with trailer trash, with some crack whore. you're just not going to do it, right? So it's the same thing with food.
Great analogy.
Right? But that's what it gets down to. That's what we're trying to do.
You know what? I'll tell you something. It's true. When you're on Whole Foods, you feel amazing.
Yeah.
You do feel. When you're on Whole Foods for a prolonged period of time, you feel amazing. I do agree with you that when you cut out one food source, like some people, you know, they won't eat any meat, or some people won't eat any carbs. Or some people, what happens is that food source, you start wanting it more and more.
Yeah.
Eventually, you're like, you know what? It's the perfect storm. It's there. Let me have a little nibble. And then you're like, boom.
Yeah.
You know, the floodgates open. So I like the idea of just staying Whole Foods, but I need that earned meal.
The earned meal. And it's nice to know that it's there and it's coming. And that allows you to work harder.
But 10 days.
Every 10 days.
Can I do it every 7 days? Let's say you're already lean. Let's say you're close to the body fat you want to be at optimally.
Yep. So what we do in that, like a case like a Mersad, is every 7 days we have what we call a refeed. What the refeed is, it's a calorie bump. Like we do burgers and we do fries. Maybe we do like chili.
But hold on, Dolce burger type, not McDonald's burger.
Not McDonald's burger.
No. Your style of burger, which is cleaner.
Cleaner. So what we do is, you know, in my house, I mean, you'll pay me $30 to eat my burger.
His burgers are good.
Bomb. And French fries, homemade fries, baked French fries, sweet potato fries, white fries, does not matter. We make these at home of the highest quality nutrients. So I get all the enjoyment with the high micronutrient density. I use that word all the time, is micronutrition. Much more important than macros, protein, carbs, and fats. I don't even care about that. We don't care about calories. We care about the micronutrition of the food we consume, because this whole body is a facade. This is simply, you know, a big blob of cells, right? It's just cellular activity that's happening right now. Micronutrients are catalysts for all cellular activity. If we're micronutrient deficient, our cells are no longer operating as they were intended to. Therefore, we're diminishing performance. We're eroding our health. We're reducing our potential for longevity. We're manifesting disease and disorder. There's no opportunity to ever take a meal off from that in our mind. It just doesn't make sense. So when we have these refeeds, the refeeds is just simply eating more of the same whole foods we normally do. One of my favorites is the burgers, the burgers and fries. I absolutely love it. We do like this big pasta. We do a chili. You know, we'll do these pancakes in the morning with real pancakes. Maple syrup. Pancakes, delicious.
Pancakes, baby. Sweet potato pancakes. Where's that?
We're working on that recipe.
He's listening. Mirza is listening.
Yeah.
He's looking forward to those sweet potato pancakes. What was it? Ricotta cheese pancakes?
Yeah. No, cottage cheese.
Cottage cheese pancakes. Oh, amazing. Yeah. Amazing. Really, honestly, it's also fun to cook it. Like when you cook it yourself, you savor it more. You know, you have a... I don't overeat as much, because the joy of cooking it replaces that joy of overeating. You know,
absolutely.
You savor it more, and it's psychological, man. Food is... psychological. Now, somebody asked a very popular question I get all the time. Intermittent fasting. Now, before Mike tells you about intermittent fasting, I think, personally, I've seen people have good results. Mike, obviously, you don't like that. For you, it's a fad.
Well, intermittent fasting, let's look at it a few different ways. So we have to label everything, it seems, in society. We have to put a label. Intermittent fasting, it's time-restricted eating. But what does that mean? Intermittent fasting, hey, I ate an hour ago. I fasted for an hour. And now I'm eating again. Well, that is typically a fast. It's an intermittent fast, essentially. We need to broaden the definition. Intermittent fasting, typically, I would say, would start at about a 12-hour fueling window and a 12-hour fasting window. Now, if you sleep 8 hours per night like I try and do, I have my dinner at 7 p.m. I go to bed at 10 p.m. I wake up around 6 a.m. I've slept for 8 hours. I had 3 hours of fasting before I fell asleep. That's 11 hours. I wake up, I do some sort of low intensity, steady state cardiovascular activity, or I read or I write for an hour or so. That's a 12-hour fast right there. Then I maybe take a shower, I get the kitchen ready. So I might not have my first meal after 13 hours, which means that was a 13-hour fast and 11-hour fueling window. Am I intermittent fasting? No, I'm just living my life. I'm just living a normal life without a label, without a claim. The problem is people take this intermittent fasting and they go crazy. They go, well, how about 10 hours? How about 8 hours? How about 6? How about 4? How about 2? How about 1? Like the warrior diet. All of that has been proven to be less successful. I don't want to say flawed inherently, because it works for some people some of the time, but it does not work for all of the people all of the time, for sure. So the shorter fueling window creates a few problems. Number one, it's very difficult to consume your total intake of micronutrition through whole food sources in 6 hours. If you need to take in 3,000 or so calories per day, that means I need to eat 3 1,000 calorie meals every 2 hours in that 6 hour window. Very difficult to do, and even more difficult is the ability to digest, break down, absorb, and utilize that nutrition before the next meal gets dumped in. Simply, there's no time for the digestive environment to do its job without being overburdened. Even though you have that 14, 16, 18 hour fasting window in between, the food time that we're actually consuming becomes very compressed. So we need to spread it out, 8, 10. Typically, we don't let any of our athletes, any of our clients, go less than a 10-hour feeding window, but we do have what we call the modified fast typically once a week, which allows for a reset of the metabolism, essentially where we skip breakfast. We just kind of skip breakfast, maybe on a Sunday, one day per week, we stay super hydrated, then we'll kind of add some teas in maybe a little bit of coffee, and then we'll ease in. First meal of the day is typically something more on the raw side, big old beautiful raw salad or maybe a smoothie, and then that night is typically when we have that refeed, is that big burger and fry meal. So that's kind of the way. So intermittent fasting itself is not a bad thing, but the overuse, like anything else, is terrible and it's not effective, and your results will go backwards for sure.
Well, I'll tell you something. I do use intermittent fasting sometimes. I think there's benefits. I think there's pros and cons. It's the right time to use it. And one time I use it quite often is, let's say I'm working with somebody who's addicted to fast food.
Yeah.
Like if you give them natural foods to them, it's disgusting. So what I do is sometimes I'll make my clients fast for 20 hours. And then I'll give them whole foods. Or even make them fast for 24 hours, which is not that as easy as it sounds for most people. Then you give them some whole foods. You give them fruits and vegetables, a little bit of protein. To them, that meal is amazing now.
Yeah,
you've reset their palate instead of gradually going. Like some people have a lot of motivation. You know, they wake up one morning, they're sick, their doctor's telling them they're sick, they're going to die. Hey, you got to get healthy. And the guy just cannot get himself to drink even a smoothie. I've met people like that. They cannot eat vegetables or fruit. Some people can only eat processed food. They grew up on it.
Yeah.
Actually, I know a youngster, you know, I have a youngster that I had to work with because his whole life, all he did was eat processed foods. If you gave him a celery stick or a carrot or a cucumber, he would throw it up. Like he would just freak out.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, you can't make a kid fast. However, if you do fast, though, your palate gets kind of reset quite quickly.
Yeah.
Have you ever had that? Have you ever used that?
We have. And what that is, but it's very slow, right? So it's a slow... Let me back up and say this differently. So if you do that, it's with one person who has a very severe issue, and it's really once or twice. It's for a very short period of time. So the concept of intermittent fasting that most people use, they try and implement it as a lifestyle.
Right.
They're fasting multiple times per week, or they're fasting, you know,
every day. Some people do it every day.
Every single day.
They fast 16 hours and they eat just four.
Just four or 8 hours.
Yeah, 8 hours, 4 hours. Some people use 4 hour windows. Some people use a 6 hour window. Some people even use 8 hours. But 8 hours, I don't find it to be really fasting.
It's not fasting.
Personally, I think that's not fasting. 4 hour and six window is fasting. 4 hour window for me is real fasting. You know, like.
Yeah, and that becomes very difficult, especially if you're active. If you have a high stress job, it's nearly impossible. If you're a very active person physically, I would say it's impossible. You can sustain it for a short period of time until your body starts to break down, until your health starts to break down, and until psychologically and emotionally you start to break down simply because you're creating deficiencies. You cannot consume the proper micronutrition necessary to sustain the biological process of being a human in this environment. So food, people look at food like it's a bad thing to be avoided. We look at food like it's a great thing. I need to build a skyscraper. If I want to build the most grandiose building on the planet, the most supreme structure, I need the proper raw materials available in abundance, and I need to use those as they were intended by design. Now, if I'm just throwing, you know, crappy inferior materials onto the job site and I'm just slapping them up in any old way, of course the structure will be flawed. If I'm trying to build a structure and I don't have enough of the nutrients available or the materials available when they needed to be put in to the sequence, again, the structure will be flawed. So when we look at food from the micro level, not the macro level. I need this vital micronutrition all day long being dripped into my body to be utilized optimally. it just so happens that then you can, you know, there's an emotional and a social relationship that people develop with food. And that's a different part of the conversation. So food is simply raw materials that we need as a biological organism. But then there's a social construct, there's the emotional construct that then we have to manage through food pairings and through situational eating and then through recipes, the flavor, the satisfaction.
I like to do intermittent fasting. I would say I do it about once a week.
Okay.
Usually Friday nights I go out to dinner with my wife and have a nice big meal. So I won't eat the whole day just so when I go there I can have all my calories in one sitting.
Yeah.
And Mike, I don't want to disappoint you, but I have the processed, I have the French fries, I have the breads, I have the burger, whatever it is that night we're going to eat. You know, and I went to a Brazilian steakhouse like 2 weeks ago.
Oh boy.
Let me tell you something. When you go to a Brazilian steakhouse, okay, you can't say no, Mike.
I know.
It's the red light. You just put the red
chip. Okay, I threw that off the table. I had some of the best food I've ever eaten in my life was Brazilian steakhouse. Mike, you tell me you go to a Brazilian steakhouse once in a while and you don't eat it.
So if we do go, I know the exact cuts of meat I want. I tell the young man exactly what I want. I fill up at the beautiful salad buffet, the salad bar. I don't get the fried breads. But to me, I love it. I mean, I look at a Brazilian steakhouse, like they have everything I want perfectly crafted, but I'm not eating the shit. I'm not eating the crap. I'm only getting the fine. It's like, I only want the hot chicks, baby.
I'll take the scraps and the hot chicks. I think it all.
Got them all. More is better.
They all need love, Mike. They're not animals.
Well, no, they're not.
Okay, all jokes aside. Mike, what about dessert?
So dessert, we look at, like I say, we make our own ice cream. Here's a great recipe. Try this. Ice cream. Take 1 cup of plain Greek yogurt, full fat plain Greek yogurt, throw it in a blender. Take 1 cup of frozen berries. I love black cherries, frozen black cherries. Throw them in a blender. Pulse it. Pulse it. So the blades kind of turn and turn and turn. It'll turn a few times so the berries mix with the yogurt. It will look and have the consistency of ice cream. I will scoop that out with an ice cream scooper, put that into glass bowls, see-through glass bowls. So now you have the full, beautiful scoop of ice cream. I'll sprinkle some chia seeds on top and drizzle a little bit of raw honey. We've served this on holidays in our house and had aunts and uncles looking in our garbage can for the ice cream. Where did you get this ice cream from? Right. It's delicious. Red. Little did they know. Even tricked our family. We'll throw some carrots in sometimes and some spinach. Really? When it turns over, you can't see it anymore and you can't taste it because the carrots are actually sweet. So now it's this pseudo salad mixed into the ice cream. It tastes delicious. If it doesn't taste good, nobody's going to eat it. It tastes delicious. You can eat it completely guilt-free. We eat this 2-3 times a week in my house.
Guilt-free.
Completely guilt-free because you look at just what the nutrients are in like a Greek yogurt. That's the top quality yogurt to have if you eat it. The fruit itself, frozen black cherries or mixed berries or blueberries, blackberry, whatever's in season, wash them properly, freeze them down, mix them in. It's amazing. One thing we also do is I'll do like salted cashews and green grapes. I posted that on my Instagram account.
Salted cashews, green grapes.
And green grapes.
That sounds amazing.
In the same bowl because you have the sweet from the grapes, you have the salty, crunchy from the cashews. So as you sit there and you eat it, it satisfies that emotional need. But at the same time, it's a high quality
nutrient source. There's a fiber, there's a lower glycemic index, there's a lot of the good stuff in there. Yep.
And it's delicious. So like when we do movie night, you know, Netflix and chill at the Dolce house, that's typically what we're eating, what I'm eating. Now my wife, you know, she'll sip on a little bit of wine here and there. That's kind of like her vice while eating these type of foods. But we're not poisoning ourselves, and that's something that's important, especially in a household we're raising kids. So when our kids open the cabinet, they're only going to see certain options. They're going to see what mommy and daddy eat. And that's actually setting their paradigm when it comes to relationships with food as they go through life. So what we're trying to do is instill this philosophy, this paradigm in their world as they enter, you know, into society. They'll already have this strong foundation from what we've taught them instead of just, you know, throwing candy and processed sugar and synthetic chemicals at them their whole life. And I understand other families do that. We counsel families every day in our office. It's just, it's we have to change our own mindset and relationship with food in order to change the obesity epidemic, the diabetes epidemic, the heart disease epidemic. I mean, there's many of these issues right now that are just getting worse in society. And if we don't change at this level, at our level, it won't change. And no doctors won't do it. The government won't do it. It's us, the real people. We're the ones that have to do it.
Mike, when you go to the movies, that's a tricky one. I always get bit by the popcorn bug.
Yeah.
butter,
yeah,
chocolate candies. What do you do?
When
you
bring my own trail mix.
Trail mix
in a Ziploc bag. So,
like before,
right? This room for some reason.
We're gonna open the desk.
Okay, we're back. Are we back? Hold on. I think we're back. Mirzad was blocked, guys. Sorry. Mirzad's room was blocked. Okay, we're back on. We're back on. We skipped, guys. We skipped.
Yeah.
We're using hotel internet. Sorry, guys. And now we're back on. We were talking about Mike's tips for when you go to the theater.
Movies.
Bring your own snack. Don't be like me and fall and get bit by the popcorn fairy.
Because they will lure you in with that low. It's just it's a low return food. Stay away from it. It's all disgusting. If you saw the way it was processed, if you saw the dirty hands that are touching it, you would never eat it anyway. So avoid that. Bring your own. Again, almonds, cashews, sunflower, and pumpkin seeds dumped in there. Usually raisins, because then you get the sweet. And if I'm getting crazy, Coach Frost, if I'm getting fucking nuts, I'll do is I'll get some dark chocolate nips kind of dipped in there. This is. It's delicious.
Wow.
And then usually I'll get like a little coffee or espresso because I'm a caffeine fiend. Mm. I'll sip on that. I'll eat the trail mix. It's awesome. I literally have no craving. There is no craving. Like the popcorn
No craving.
The popcorn makes me sick when I see other people eating it. And this will help you guys.
Wow.
You want the popcorn? Look at the popcorn line and look at the bodies who are eating the popcorn.
Hey.
But for every one Coach Faraz, there's 1,000 Peter Griffin standing in line.
True.
Avoid it.
That's amazing, man. I gotta try it, man. How long is it going to take me? If I go full Whole Foods,
yep.
How long is it going to take me for me to get that past that hurdle? I have no more addictions.
Day one. So
day one?
And here's how it goes. So let's say you start 3 weeks of Shredded. Day one, it'll be a little bit different because you got to kind of plan and organize. You eat the first meal, like the breakfast bowl, day one. Wow, that's fucking delicious. I feel good. 15 minutes later, like, wow, my digestion feels really good. 45 minutes, I feel awesome. Like, Mirzad, I'm going to kick your ass today. I want to grapple. I want to get in. I want to do the thing. Next meal, you're going to have some sort of snack. Usually it's fresh fruit paired with some sort of nut. And some of the essential fat and simple sugar. That's typically meal number two pairing. Meal number three is most likely going to be some sort of egg omelet, turkey bacon type of delicious meal with lots of veg on the side. Meal three, another snack depending on what your goal set is. Meal four or five, the nighttime, the dinner meal is going to be some sort of lean animal protein, most likely wild caught salmon, one of my favorite. Asparagus, broccoli, garlic, peppers, onions, just some white rice, jasmine white rice to mix in there, or quinoa. And then usually dinner's like an apple and almond butter. Now we'll bake the apples. So we'll make baked apples in our house, sprinkled with cinnamon.
Wow,
incredible. Like, so food can actually be good. Almond butter on the side, like you can put almond butter on the side, you can just eat it, off the spoon, like a lollipop. It's incredible. So like day one, you'll feel great because everything starts with digestion. Your digestion will be so good. You'll feel good. You'll have this energy. Day two, you'll wake up and you'll be like, fuck. I feel good. I look better. Holy shit, I'm down 2 pounds in a day. Well, it must be water weight. It must be water weight. Well, that's inflammation, guys and girls. You're inflamed, and inflammation is actually a really bad thing. It's one of the main predictors of disease and illness and such. The less inflammation, actually, the better. And improved digestion, the better for overall health. So as you kind of continue through, every day you typically feel better eating a whole food diet.
Okay, here's my next question I want to ask you. How much weight will I lose? Let's say I go for 3 weeks for Shredded program.
Yep.
There's an extra week, right?
There's a bonus week, so it's a four-week program.
It's a really four-week program. Okay, 3 weeks, plus he gives you a free week. How much weight am I going to lose? On average, let's say I'm a 185-pound male,
yep.
And I want to get down to 170.
Yep. I think that's probably...
How long if I follow the diet?
3 weeks.
3 weeks?
3 weeks. So it's calibrated to lose 21 pounds in 21 days, which is typically the average with the athletes cutting weight.
Wow.
Now, whether or not, because we also have a weight cutting protocol that you could employ in that last week where we balance out your electrolytes. So if we wanted you, like when me, I did it a few weeks ago. I went from 213.2 down to 185.00.
Wow.
For what I was doing, I made the UFC middleweight class limit. Now, naturally, I got from 213 down to about 191, and then in 48 hours I cut the last 6 pounds just for fun because I was so close. I then refed myself up to 198. I had the burger night, I had the pancakes in the morning. As as if I was going to fight almost, essentially. Kind of put the same foods in. Went back up to 198 and then went through round two of 3 weeks to Shredded. And when I left here for fight week, I haven't stepped on the scale. I was down 4.5 pounds or so, I think, in the first 5 or 6 days. So I was already down to what my bottom weight would be. So for a guy your size, I'd say right about 15 pounds would be ideal. And then if you hit the weight cutting protocol, we could easily get to 20 to 25 if we needed to. In the safest manner possible while cutting weight, and I want to make it clear, cutting weight is not, it's not healthy, it's not safe, it's not ideal, but we can do it in the healthiest manner possible. Not that we really want to do that, because I'm not a fan of water restriction and dehydration and calorie deprivation.
Amazing. Amazing. Because for those of you guys who didn't understand all that, he doesn't cut a lot of salt and water.
No.
He just lets you, it's your metabolism do the work.
It's the metabolism, it's the balance of electrolytes, and it's the places with which we drop weight. Most people think in order to lose weight, they have to dehydrate. That's far from being true, and that's the big flaw, I think, plaguing the UFC right now. These coaches and athletes, they cut their sodium days and over a week out. They drop their carbohydrates to zero, so now they're completely glycogen depleted. The brain, the cardiac function is not working optimally, and now the body enters a stress state. Once it enters a stress state, a completely negative hormonal process begins, where the body now, you hear of guys who, they go into a 180-degree sauna for an hour and they didn't lose an ounce. Why is that?
I've seen it. Personally, I've seen it. I've seen guys in the sauna for a prolonged period of time. It's such a horrible experience. Plus, you get out there, you weigh them, they're red as a tomato.
Yep.
Didn't lose any weight.
Didn't lose any weight. They're literally dying. But what they've done, they've switched on the negative hormonal path without getting too deep into the process. The negative hormonal path simply because they didn't treat the body naturally. Really, most of what we do is just a simple balance of electrolytes. That's what allows a Mirsad Bektik to walk around in the high 160s or so, come in here fight week in the high 150s, and then be able to wake up on weigh-in day 2 pounds above his weight class before we even do a tub session. Tub session, you know, half hour in the tub, he's down on weight, and we'll actually start rehydrating him tonight before he goes to bed, putting all those electrolytes and salts and things back in him. But we don't go zero sodium. We don't cut sodium. We make sure the foods that he's eating is sodium-dense foods. I want to make it clear, don't cut your sodium. It's the interplay of sodium and potassium that matters more than anything, not just the reduction of sodium, because sodium is necessary for all muscular contraction, including cardiac contraction.
Amazing. I have iron deficiency. How do I treat it? Iron deficiency.
So do you have a diagnosis? Are you anemic? Do you have some sort of issue? Number one, you have to be under your doctor's care. This is not medical advice. This is for information and education purposes only. What I would do with you first and foremost, I would get a medical diagnosis. Let's see if there's something else going on. Because an iron deficiency, did you get blood work done? How do you know that? Is there a genetic trait in your family? Or are you eating iron-dense foods? You know, red meat. It was just like kind of the easy go-to. Maybe you are, maybe you aren't. What is the cause of the deficiency? Knowing the cause allows us then to treat the deficiency. And we want to do that in the most holistic, natural method possible. We look at lifestyle. We look at nutrition. We look at any external factors and stressors that could be contributing to it. And then, from what we were talking about last night, finally, then we would look to some sort of supplemental assistance, taking some form of iron. But then what type of iron are you deficient in? So I would have a deeper conversation. This is why we have a team of registered dietitians on our staff that are licensed to practice what is known as medical nutrition therapy. Also, what is important to know is registered dietitians can optimally assist people like yourself who might have some sort of underlying medical condition where there could be contradictions through lifestyle or pharmaceutical or supplemental habits or alterations. So don't just listen to your nearest local bro. Don't just Google, Dr. Google, some sort of remedy. Get a true doctor's diagnosis, work with a team of professionals. A registered dietitian, doesn't have to be mine, can be another one, but don't fuck around. Most people fuck around and they create big issues that catch up with them a few years down the road.
Amazing. All right, guys, any questions left? Mike's been more than kind. He's also offering us a discount on his 3-week program. The discount is thank you coupon code.
It's just coupon promo code thank you at thedolcediet.com. You'll save 20%. That's the largest discount we've ever offered. The program is awesome. It sells itself. We don't need to discount it, but because Coach Faraz is awesome and you guys are awesome.
I appreciate it. He's giving you guys a discount for me. I recommended it. I asked him for one for you guys. I'm doing it after Ramadan is done. I've been fasting. I'll tell you something. Fasting, it's tough on the body. You're right. It is. It's more of a personal thing, a spiritual thing. I do it every so often, but I really like the idea of whole foods. Can you guys do whole foods for 4 weeks? Can you do whole foods for 4 weeks and get shredded?
Bicep of truth right there.
4 weeks. He says we're going to lose 15 pounds, 20 pounds, 10, 15 pounds. You got to train though too, right? Can't just eat, right?
Well, here's the beauty of it. If you can do nothing else, just do nutrition. Like exercise to us. I'm a strength coach. I'm a fucking meathead. I love to be in the gym. I love to work out. Exercise is 10% of the equation. The nutrition is 90%+. If you're following nutrition, we have a lot of people who are coming off of injuries, severe injuries. We have elderly people. We have people coming off of heart surgery, you know, all sorts of stuff. Nutrition is the most important thing. People who cannot exercise lose tremendous amount of non-functional body weight simply through eating the right foods. And they increase their skeletal mass. They increase their functional muscle mass while dropping subcutaneous visceral body fat, as well as edema, inflammation, and all these other cofactors to metabolic syndrome and life-related illness.
You think how easy is it to eat 500 calories? So easy. Burn 500 calories. That's not as easy.
That's true.
So diet is way more powerful than exercise.
Yep.
You can go do a very strenuous workout. You've only burned 250, 300 calories.
Yeah.
You're gonna go and you're gonna think, oh, I worked out. I should get that burger and you know what, supersize that fries and give me that extra dessert because I worked out. You're wrong.
Yeah.
You know, even though yes, you might have built muscle and that will burn fat more and you boosted your metabolism maybe. But still, it's so much easier to eat those calories than to burn them. Mike, I want to thank you, man. Thank you for doing this episode with me. I hope you guys enjoyed this episode with Mike. Mike's the man. He took his time for us. Plus, he gave us all that good stuff, that discount. I'm going to put it in the description right now so I don't forget. I'm doing his Dolce diet right after Ramadan. So that's in about 10 days. 10 days. I'm going to be doing it for 4 weeks, guys. I'm going to go 4 weeks. No processed foods except... One little thing, okay? One little
thing. Here we go. Uh-oh.
I'm going to have a cheat meal once a week. Not every 10 days. Sorry, earned meal.
Earned
I'm going to
earn
it. Okay. And I'm going to bust some extra heads in the gym to make sure I earned it.
Yeah, I'll fair. Right? I will co-sign that.
So I'm going to go every 7 days because I don't think I could do every 10 days, guys. Personally, I go baby steps, baby steps.
We'll talk. We'll talk at day six.
Other than that, guys, thank you for tuning in, and I'll see you on the next episode.